Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue with our lengthy but important series, Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. And the last time we left off in Ezekiel chapter 36. And Ezekiel 36 is a prophecy predicting the agricultural restoration of the land of Israel at the end of days and the return and regathering of the Jewish people by the sovereign power and decree of God. A prophecy that is currently being fulfilled today in Israel and will be ultimately fulfilled with the return of the Messiah. When we looked at the opening verses of this chapter, God commands Ezekiel to speak to the barren and desolate mountains of Israel. And through the power of God's spoken word, the agricultural restoration of Israel is accomplished. And then God brings his people back to their ancient homeland. And of course, God would do this according to the oath that he swore to the Jewish people's founding fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we left off around verse 8 of the first section of Ezekiel 36. Remember, I told you that this chapter divides into three sections. The first section is the prophecy of the restoration of the land of Israel, verses 1 through 15. The second section is the restoration of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, given in verses 16 through 25. And then the third section is the return of the Messiah to the land of Israel and the redemption of the people of Israel, given in verses 25 through 38. Now, let's look at verse 8. Starting in verse 8, God continues to command Ezekiel to speak forth a prophetic word, to speak forth a word of life, revival, and restoration of the promised land. Verse 8 of Ezekiel 36, God says, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come." So right before the return and the restoration of the Jewish people to the land of Israel that has occurred in the last 60 years, the land would be revived. So, obviously, they could live off the land when they return. And you can ask anybody in the know concerning the history of the Middle East, ancient to present, that whenever a Gentile occupying force possessed the promised land, they could not make the land thrive agriculturally. It's only been when the Jewish people are in the land, possessing the land and living in the land, that the promised land is able to be productive and fruitful. And again, we know this prophecy has now been fulfilled in our day, because for well nigh over 1900 years, when the Jewish people had been scattered from the promised land, the land fell into great disrepair and desolation. So much so that many parts of Israel, particularly the northern part, were nothing but infested malarial swamplands. And then when God brought the Jewish people back, they drained the swamplands, implemented drip irrigation, and now the land of Israel is a thriving and burgeoning nation in the world, with great fruitful productivity. So the land would begin to bud and be fruitful again as the Jewish people were returning, God says in verse 8. Verse 9, "For indeed I am with you, And I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. And I will make you inhabited, as in former times, and to do better for you than at the beginnings. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations, that is the Gentile nations surrounding Israel, any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble anymore, says the Lord. So we see here that God swore by himself that he would execute judgment against all the evil nations who sought to ravage the Holy Land and displace the chosen people from living there whom he placed there. But now the Lord promises agricultural revival. He promises renewal of the Holy Land. And this will occur when the Jewish people return. We read in these verses that the land will be completely renewed and made to bear fruit forever. God says that this land will be productive and fruitful, so that it can be readied for the return of the Jewish people. And of course, today in modern Israel, vegetables and fruits abound in that nation. Indeed, Israel is third on the list for exporting their fruits and vegetables to the world. A thing unheard of 100 years ago, when that land was dead, barren, and unproductive. How did they accomplish this in the last 60 years? How were these prophetic words of Ezekiel 36:8-10 fulfilled? Well, one way was by the revolutionary concept and practice of drip irrigation in Israel. Now, keep in mind, water management and water distribution has been critical to Israel all throughout her long storied history. Modern Israel today, as they did in Ezekiel's day, rely on crucial water supply to sustain them as a nation. When Israelis rely on God's instructions and care for each other and practice water management, there would be enough water. And an important part of water management in modern Israel today is drip irrigation. Whenever you go to Israel and you drive through the countryside, you will see long lines of dark plastic pipes. This is what is called drip irrigation. Every plant is watered individually by these pipes so that water goes directly to the roots of each plant or crop, and water then is not wasted needlessly. Also, along with the water conveyance through these pipes, fertilizers and pesticides are also conveyed to the crops. And so we see here that the wonderful practice and discovery of drip irrigation has made Israel a veritable breadbasket of the Middle East. Again, a specific fulfillment of prophecy here in Ezekiel 36. And so God says in verses 8 through 15, that the land of Israel will be productive and fruitful when the Jewish people return. The land will be filled with people brought back from places all over the world. And notice in verse 10 that God says that the ancient cities will be inhabited again. And my friend, today in Israel, in the last 60 years, all the ancient biblical names for the Jewish villages in Israel have been restored to those places. Again, this is a specific fulfillment of prophecy. After the Jewish people were dispersed in AD 70 by the Romans were in control of these cities. And their ancient Hebrew names were changed to Roman Latin names. And then, when the Romans' occupation of the Promised Land passed into history, then the Muslims came in and renamed some of these same cities with Muslim or Arab names. And then, following the Muslims, the Crusaders came into the Holy Land and ruled it for 200 years. They then changed the names of these cities into Christian names. Then the Turks came of the Ottoman Empire, the Byzantines, and all these succeeding Gentile powers. And each time they occupied the Holy Land, they would give them, the cities, different names. But we see here in verse 10, the promise to Israel is that when the Lord regathered them back into their land, the cities would be named and settled according to their original biblical names and in the same location. In traveling through Israel today, you will find now that Nazareth is Nazareth, Cana is Cana, Nain is Nain, Beersheba is Beersheba. And what does this mean? This means that almost without exception, the cities have been renamed with their biblical names and settled in the same places as they were in biblical times. So the Word of God prophesied in Ezekiel 36 again has been fulfilled in our day with the restoration of the land of Israel and the Jewish people back to Israel. And notice in the closing of this first section that the land will no longer suffer the reproach, taunts, or scorn of the Gentile nations. And because Israel would return and they would have a strong and immovable presence in the Holy Land. And it will be because God is demonstrating to the world His covenantal faithfulness to Israel. And He is demonstrating to Israel His unconditional love for them. Because as we read in this chapter, the restoration of the land and people will not be because they earned it or they deserved it, but rather because of God's faithfulness to them. God's wonderful promise of renewal will reverse the ongoing desolation and devastation of the Holy Land. And the full restoration will await. In the third section we learn in this chapter of Ezekiel 36, the full restoration still awaits the return of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when He returns, He will remove all enemies and renew the Holy Land as an everlasting inheritance for His people. We learn here that God has an intense and abiding concern and care for the Promised Land. And He also is concerned with how the Gentile nations treat the Jewish people and treat the land which He gave them for an everlasting possession. And last time I told you that a person who has a problem with Israel or the Jewish people really reflects a greater and more serious problem with that person. His problem with Israel is really a reflection of the fact that he has a problem with the God of Israel. And when you see the world today constantly belittling, mocking, and defaming Israel, whether in the media or the arena of geopolitics, it's a clear indication that such entities do not know God and have a scorn for Him. That is the God of Israel. And in doing so, they curry not His favor, but His wrath. And so moving on in this chapter, verses 17 through 21, the God of Israel, the Lord, indicts the Jewish people of being guilty of two sinful acts. First, the Israelites were guilty, as other nations, of defiling the Holy Land. Verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land and for their idols which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. So, here we have God's reason for the diaspora. Israel's idolatry. They're shedding innocent blood in the land. And, of course, when Messiah came, their rejection and unbelief of Him. And so, as punishment for their iniquity and disobedience to God, He scattered them from the land. Verse 20, when they came to the nations, and whenever you see nations there, it's talking about the non-Jewish Gentile nations. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name when they said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of His land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Again, the prophetic word has been accurately fulfilled among the Jewish people during the diaspora, because wherever they went, they were mocked by the Gentiles. As well, if you were the chosen people, and God gave you the promised land to live in, why aren't you there? Why can you not go back to the Holy Land? As if to invalidate this accusation and slander that they hurled against the chosen people was as if they were questioning the Word of God and the covenant God made with Israel when He said, I will give you this land forever. And so we read here that because of Israel's unbelief, violence, and idolatry, God poured out His wrath upon them. And the Israelites reaped exactly what they sowed. They reaped violence and lawlessness, so they reaped violence at the hands of the lawless Gentile nations. And notice in verses 20 through 23, a second reason why God scattered the people was because they profaned the Lord's holy name. Verse 21, but I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations and gather you of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and your idols. So here we see that the Lord said that He was going to transform the people and do some wonderful things for the nations. Notice here that He regathers them while they're still in unbelief. Verse 24. And then subsequent to that event, they will be spiritually regenerated. Verse 25 is the language of the new covenant. God would sprinkle clean water on them, and He would cleanse them from the defilement of their sins. Not literal water, but water is a symbol used for purification and cleansing. In the New Testament, we know that the agent for cleansing from sin is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here that this restoration of the Jewish people back into their ancient homeland at the end of the present age is not something that the Jewish people earned or deserved. It will be sovereignly performed by a gracious God, one who displays His mercy towards His people because of the everlasting covenants He has made with them. As we discover here, not only does the Lord say that He will restore the land at the end of the age, but He will also regather and regenerate the Jewish people who have for so long lived in unbelief. And so really, you could say that this prophecy has been fulfilled up to verse 24. Because Israel has been regathered back into their ancient homeland in the last 60 years. And concurrent with that, the land of Israel itself has experienced an unprecedented agricultural renewal. So much so now that Israel is one of the leading nations exporting fruits and vegetables to the rest of the world. An amazing prophecy that is now being fulfilled in our generation. And then, of course, verses 25 through 38, the third section, predicting the return of the Messiah to the land of Israel and the redemption of the people of Israel, still awaits fulfillment. So we see here that God will restore Israel to the promised land to show how holy His name is. So really, the restoration of Israel in our day is another proof God is giving to show that He is there, that He exists, and that He keeps His Word, and that the Word, the Scriptures themselves, the Bible, is trustworthy and reliable. That is a practical lesson we learn about the Jewish people. Their history confirms the veracity of the Word of God, that it is accurate, that prophecy has been 100% fulfilled up to this point concerning the Jewish people, and that the God of Israel, He alone, is the true God. That is quite exciting for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Note here in verse 23, God says that He is going to regather Israel, renew their land, for His name's sake, because His name was profaned by unbelieving Israel. What does He mean? I will sanctify My name, for My name is holy. Well, the word holiness it simply means that which is set apart, totally distinct and different from all other names. God's name is the supreme name. It transcends all names of any other presumed deity. And God now is demonstrating the awesome power of His name through the revival of the land of Israel, and the regathering of the Jewish people that is taking place in our day. This is a sign again. Here we come back to that concept throughout this series that I have tried to hammer home. Here we have again Israel being a sign, not only of the end times, but for the holiness of God's name and proof that He indeed exists and that His Word is true and is being fulfilled. The Lord will restore and is restoring the Jews to the promised land in order to arouse the Gentile nations and peoples of the world to acknowledge Him. And once the Jewish people have returned to the promised land, we are told in verse 23 of Ezekiel 36, the nations of the world will be forced to acknowledge that only the true and living God could perform such a feat. That, again, is being fulfilled because, as you know, the church, for the most part today, is made up mainly of people living in the Gentile nations. And those who are in the biblical know, see this going on, and their actions conform and fulfill exactly what God said would happen, that the nations would sit up, take notice, and acknowledge that the God of Israel exists because He is keeping covenant with His people, fulfilling His promises to them as He brings them back to the land of Israel. And many Gentile believers, Gentile Christians in the church, acknowledge that through this great fulfillment of Bible prophecy, i.e. the regathering of the Jewish people, that the God of Israel indeed exists and is doing this for the sake of His name. That is His character, who He is and what He does. Whenever you see the name mentioned in Scripture, it is a word that represents all that God is. God is known by, His name is known by who He is and what He does. And that, my friend, is a sign. It is a sign for our generation that the restoration and the regathering of Israel in our day proves that the God of the Bible exists, and the promises and prophecies of Scripture will be fulfilled by His sovereign power as He is motivated by His mercy and grace towards the chosen people, in spite of their unbelief, in spite of their lawlessness that they had done while living in the promised land. So Israel serves a sign to the church in those respects. And it demonstrates to the church as well that if God keeps His promises to Israel in spite of their unbelief and misbehavior, He will also keep His promises that He has made to His church through the Messiah whom He sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36 is another among many chapters in the Word of God that tells us we can take God at His word and believe Him even as a child believes his father. We are to show the same trustworthiness towards God's word. And God even gives us an incentive by fulfilling these prophecies in Israel before our eyes. A sign that He is faithful. A sign that He exists. And a sign that He is coming soon. Amen. Well, I am out of time this time. Until next time, Shalom Aleichem Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.